Today's shiur is Masech Besoita Daf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Ches and base two lines from the bottom, Iboiluhu. As we continue learning the halachas of Nesias Kapayim, we discussed at the end of the previous shiur that whoever wants to be included in the Birkus Kohanim has to stand in front of the Kohanim for the bracha to be effective. Ask the Gemara Iboiluhu, Tzdod Amahu, if somebody stands to the side of where the Kohanim are standing, by Brikus Kahanim. What is the halach? Mahu. Oma Abba Ma Bere Rav Ashi, Tot Shema. The halacha we know is that if somebody becomes Tamei Meis, he has to have the mixture of the ashes of the Paraduma and the water sprinkled on him. The halacha is, says the Mishnah Masech Tepora, the Skavim Lahazis Lefonov, if there was an intention to sprinkle on utensils that were in front of the person sprinkling, Vehizel Achrov, and it actually end up sprinkling on utensils that were behind the individual, or vice versa, l'achro v'hiz l'fonov, he intended to sprinkle on utensils that were behind him, and he actually sprinkled on utensils that were in front of him, the halacha is hazasa psula. Machloikis was showing him how to understand this Gemara. Rashi learns that you have to have intent to be metaher this utensil. And therefore, if I had intention for this utensil and it ended up that a different utensil behind me got sprinkled on, it's not effective. The Ravid learns differently. He says you don't have to have kavona to do hazor, but you have to have kavona on what you're going to be maza. And if you don't have kavona on what you're going to be maza, it's an ineffective hazor. But continues the Mishnah in Masech Tepora teaching us, Lefonov, if he intended to do hazor on kelim that were in front of him, v'hiza atzdodin shebefonov, and he ended up doing hazor on kelim that were on the sides of him, hazosik shera. And here too, we have a very fundamental machloikis rishonim and how to understand the Gemara's teretz. Rashi explains the Gemara's teretz as follows, that the Mishnah in Masech Tepora is teaching us that anything that's on your side, as long as it's towards the direction of in front of you, even though it's not completely in front of you, it's somewhat to the side, it's on the angle, it's still considered an effective hazor. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says that anything towards the front, even if it's on the side, it's only on an angle, that the Gemara never had a shail about. That certainly, says Tosfos, would be considered lefonov, both for hazor and both for Birkus Kohanim. What the Gemara, what the Mishnah, Masech Tepora, and in turn our Gemara is teaching us, says Tosfos, that something that's directly on your side is also considered lefonov. Only something that's behind you is considered l'achrov, but if it's towards the front, it's certainly considered lefonov, and even if it's just directly to the side, it's also considered lefonov. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Barav Huna, once the Sefer Torah that we're going to do Kriyas HaTorah from is opened, Oslo Saper, one may not speak, afilu b'dvar halacha, any subject. So the Mefarshim discuss at length, how does this Gemara get in here? We're in the middle of learning the halachas of Nesias Kapayim, and now the Gemara teaches us a halacha about Kriyas HaTorah. So some Rishonim explain, since in a moment we're going to learn what Rav Zeira Omer Rav Chizda taught us, and we're going to learn a number of statements that Rav Zeira Omer Rav Chizda taught us, so that's how this Gemara comes in here. Others explain that this Gemara really belongs in Amud Beis, because Amud Beis we're going to learn halachas of Kriyas HaTorah, and really should be on Amud Beis. Others explain that just what the Gemara is teaching us, it's just like one has to show respect for the Birkus Kohanim, as we've been learning and will continue learning. Our Gemara is teaching us the same applies by Kriyas HaTorah. If we want to have the mitzvah, we have to treat it with respect by not speaking during Kriyas HaTorah. And just like you're not allowed to stand behind the Kohanim by Birkus Kohanim because it shows disrespect for the Bracha, so too Kriyas HaTorah requires respect. So the Gemara says, Kimin sheniftach Sefer Torah, once the Sefer Torah is opened, you're not allowed to speak. Machloikas Rishonim, What does kiven sheniftach mean? Once it's open. Many Rishonim say sheniftach means once they started reading from the Sefer Torah. But until the Sefer Torah is read from, there is no issue. Others explain kiven sheniftach means once the Sefer Torah is open. Even if they did not yet begin Kriyas HaTorah, you're not allowed to speak. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara says in Masech the Brachos that Rav Sheshes during Kriyas HaTorah would turn away from the Sefer Torah and learn. I ask Tosfos, our Gemara says that one is not allowed to do that, not allowed to speak even in learning while they're reading from the Sefer Torah. So there are many answers given to this question. One answer that's given is that Rav Sheshes turned his face away from the Kriya. And since he turned away his face, it was obvious that he wasn't participating in the Kriya Satira, and therefore, since he wasn't participating, he could learn during Kriya Satira. Others explain that Rav Sheshes was blind. And since he was blind, he was exempt from Kriya Satira. Kriya Satira, by definition, is Torah Shebiksav. He's blind, and that's why he was allowed to learn during the Kriyas HaTorah, which other people may not do. Others explain that Rav Sheshes, and this is the most accepted Teretz LaLocha, Rav Sheshes was an individual who was Tarasoyim Nosoy. And we know from many places in Shas that someone who's Tarasoyim Nosoy has different rules. Another shot that I saw is that Rav Sheshes began learning before the Kriyas HaTorah. Al Gemara says that the opening of the Sefer Torah, and then you sit down to learn, it's incorrect. But he was learning from before. Another teretz that I saw is that when is there an issue of learning? That if you won't have a minyan of people listening to Kriyas HaTorah. But if there's a minyan of people listening to Kriyas HaTorah anyway, so then he could learn. Another teretz that I saw, we'll leave it with this teretz, is as follows. In those days, the way it worked with Birchas HaTorah, making a bracha for an aliyah, it wasn't like nowadays that everybody who gets an aliyah makes his own bracha before the aliyah and after the aliyah. The first person who got an aliyah made a bracha before he got his aliyah, and then the last person who got an aliyah made a bracha after his aliyah, and nobody in between made any brachas, because the brachas that the first and last person made were for everyone. So pshat's as follows. In the times that we're making, that brachas are being made that way, so every person that's in the shul has to be concerned that maybe he's getting an aliyah. And what does he have to rely on? He has to rely on the bracha that was made by the first person and by the last person. So he has to be very careful to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. However, nowadays, and that was already the case in the time of Rav Sheshes, that everybody made their own bracha. So you don't have to listen to someone else's bracha. Because even if you're going to get an aliyah, you're going to make your own bracha. And therefore, the halacha is that everybody learning wasn't so unacceptable, even though that's not the halacha. So Gemara says you're not allowed to speak, even with dvar halacha. So the Mefarshim point out a number of concepts, halacha l'maisa. One is that during the laning, you're not allowed to speak, certainly, and not even learn. The only two exceptions I saw is that most poskim hold that shnai mikra v'chatargim may be done during Kriyas HaTorah. The Magen Avraham says that this is really the opinion of most Rishonim and Achroinim, even though the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra that says that one should not do shnai mikra v'chatargim during Kriyas HaTorah. And also, if there's an emergency shaila that somebody has for a rav, or the rav sees that something's happening that's just unacceptable, then the rav is allowed to say that during Kriyas HaTorah. Anything else may not be spoken during Kriyas HaTorah. Ben gavra legavra, the Rishonim already say that one should not speak ben gavra legavra, for there's a real concern that if you're going to speak ben gavra legavra, you may come to speak even during the laning, which of course is certainly prohibited. Ramosh even has a tshuva that a rav should not say divrei Torah ben gavra legavra. Al Gemara says it's not the time to speak. If you want to say a sermon, say it before or after. Learning, the Pesukim say, learning for yourself, somebody learning for himself, not with a group, is mutter ben gavra legavra. So the Gemara says, once the Kriyas HaTorah begins, one may not speak, afilu dvar halacha. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Upas ubepeschu. Once they began reading the Sefer Torah, omdu kola am. Everybody stood. However, says the Gemara, omdu doesn't mean standing. Ein amida elushtika. Amida means that they remained silent from when they began reading the Torah. Shenemar, how do we know that omdu means quiet? V'chalti, Eov says to his colleagues who were trying to comfort him for all of the troubles that have confronted him, they weren't able to answer me. Everybody's ears were turned to the Sefer Torah. So the Paiskim used this Gemara actually to discuss another Shaila. And that is one obligated to stand during Kriyas HaTorah? And they want to suggest that since the Gemara is saying the Pasuk of Eichalti Kol Yadayr Beiru Ki Omdu, the Pasuk Omdu Kol Om, Ve'en Amid El Shtika, what's the Gemara saying? That we, if we understood the Pasuk simply, what does the Pasuk say? Or Pasuk, as soon as they began reading from the Torah, Omdu Kol Om, everybody stood up. So it should mean that you're supposed to stand by Kriyas HaTorah. But not Al Gemara explained that Omdu doesn't mean standing. Omdu means remaining silent. From here we see the halacha is that you don't have to stand by Kriyas HaTorah, which is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you don't have to stand by Kriyas HaTorah. The Ramah says that someone who's a machmer, someone who wants to be careful, should stand by Kriyas HaTorah. Many paskim suggest that even if you don't have to stand by Kriyas HaTorah, you do have to stand by Birchas HaTorah, because it's no different than when Baruch Hu is said, that you have to stand any time Baruch Hu is said. However, many other paskim, the Taz quotes this, say that we can't change the Pashta Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pashta Pshat in the Pasuk is, Ubeposhu, as they began to read, Omdu Kolam, that you have to stand. And that's why he wants to suggest, quotes a Ramah Mipanu, that you have to stand, Bekriyas HaTorah, and that the Pasuk has two meanings. It means both you have to be quiet and stand. Others say that that's exactly what Rav Zeira came to say. Rav Zeira says you can't explain that the Pasuk of a Peschu Omdu Kol Om is coming to teach us that you have to remain silent. Because the Pasuk is really coming to teach us another din. The Pasuk is coming to teach us the din that you have to stand. So how do we know that you have to remain silent? That we know from the Pasuk of Ozne Kol Om of Sefer Torah. Continues the Gemara. Vomer Bishu Ben Levi. Kol Kain Shloi Notel Yodav. Any kain who doesn't wash his hands before Nesias Kapayim, La Yisus Kapav. Should not do Birchus Kahanim. Shnema Su Yedechem Kodesh Uvarchu Es Hashem. And as the Mepharshim explain, how do we see from this Pasuk the din of Netilas Yadayim? Because there's two questions in this Pasuk. One is, what does Kodesh have to do with Su Yedechem? And furthermore, it's not Baruch Hu Es Hashem. We don't bless Hashem. We bless the Kohanim, bless Klal Yisrael. It must be that the Pasuk is teaching us that before you approach the Kodesh, before you approach the Avodas HaKodesh of Nesias Kapayim, your obligation is to do two things. Number one, Su Yedechem, wash your hands. And number two, Uvaruch Hu Es Hashem, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, that the Kohanim are supposed to say a tefillah before they commence doing Nesias Kapayim. So it's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What will be the din if someone, all of us, wash our hands in the morning, and we know that the kohen knows from when he washed his hands until Nesias Kapayim, he did not touch anything that would require him to wash his hands again. Does he have to wash his hands from Nesias Kapayim or not? Rashi and Tosfos say that he has to wash his hands again. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that if he didn't touch anything that would require washing the hands, he doesn't have to wash his hands again. According to the Rambam, so what makes Nesias Kapayim unique? So the Paiskim explain, according to the Rambam, the unique attributes of Nesias Kapayim are two. If one is learning Torah, he only has to wash his hands if he knows that he touched something that's Tameh. But let's say he has a Suffolk, so we don't have to wash our hands. Nesias Kapayim, the Rambam will agree, even if you only have a Suffolk, you'll have to wash your hands. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is that by learning, if you don't have water available, you could just wipe your hands in anything else. Nesias Kapayim, you have to wash your hands with water. However, although as we just said, Rashi and Taisa says, and that's what we know is the minig, that Kohen always has to wash his hands before Nesias Kapayim, we do take the Rambam's opinion somewhat into consideration. Because the Magen Avraham discusses, if our Gemara is saying that one has to wash his hands before Nesias Kapayim, why don't you have to make a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim when you wash the hands? The answer is, because we may follow the opinion of the Rambam. And according to the Rambam, if you didn't touch anything that would make your hands tamei, you don't have to wash your hands. That's why we don't make a bracha, because maybe we're not obligated. And even though the Magen Avraham is bothered why the bracha is not made, the Kohanim don't make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. The halach is that the hands of the Kohanim are supposed to be washed until the wrist, the entire hand. And of course the minig is, at least certainly in Chutz La'aretz, that Levim are the ones that wash the hands of Kohanim. If there are no Levim present, then Bechayrim, they have to be Chor from the mother, Petarechem, wash the Kohanim's hands. If there are no Levim or Bechayrim available, then the Kohen should wash his hands himself. And Bechlal, the minig in Eretz Yisrael, is that because I guess they do chun all the time, the Kohanim wash their own hands. Vare Rishu ben Levi. I'm sorry. Says the Gemara, Shoh Talmidim v'sir Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. Rebbe Elazar Shemua Talmidim asked him, B'ma harach de yomim? How were you zoich at harichas yomim? And as the Sefer Chassidim explains the Gemara's question, if a person wants to be zoich at harichas yomim, if a person wants to have what's good in this world, he has to accept upon himself certain hanhagas tovus. He has to accept upon himself to do good things. So Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua had a riches yomim. So Talmidim asked him, what positive minhagim did you accept upon yourself? So he responded, Amalei, miyomai lo yasisi beis haknesses kafandria. I never made a shul into a shortcut. So Mefarshim asked, that's the din. That's not considered something extra special. The loch is, you're not allowed to make a shul into a shortcut. So what's he praising himself that he did something extra special? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that there are situations where you are allowed to make a shul into a shortcut. One is if you had a path that you always used as a shortcut, and then they go build a shul on your path, the loch is, you're allowed to use the shul then as a shortcut. Or, let's say you entered the shul for the purpose of learning a davening, and then you want to use it as a shortcut, the halacha is permissible. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua says that he didn't do that. He never used the shul as a shortcut. Another teretz that I saw is that perhaps this halacha, that you're not allowed to make a shul into a shortcut, is only by the Beis HaMikdash. He was careful that even a Beis HaKnesses, and even Beis HaMedrash, any place where we daven and learn, he didn't make into a shortcut. And yet another teretz that I saw, what he meant to say was, not that he didn't make a shul into a shortcut. It goes back to another sugya we learned, that he was careful always to go to a shul that wasn't so close to his home, so he should get schar halicha. Furthermore, he said, v'loi pasati al roshi am kadosh, which means as follows. In those days, the Talmidim, listening to the shir, would sit on the floor. And if somebody entered the shul from the back, going to the front to say the shir, and they were sitting on the floor, it looked like he was stepping on their heads. And he never did that. So again, the question is, that's the halacha. Why is he praising himself for doing that? So again, the Paiskim say, the isser of doing that is only when you're not the Magid Shir, you're not the Rav, so you don't have to get to the front of the shul. But if you have to get to the front of the shul to say the shir, you're allowed to go that way. He still was careful never to walk that way. The Pais can go on to say, the Mepharshim say, V'loi pasati al roshi am kadosh, that this isser of doing this is when the people sitting on the floor of the shul are am kadosh, a tamid chachamim, a special people. And now you go and you look like you're stepping on their heads. Highly inappropriate. But if on the other hand, the people sitting in the shul are not such significant people, on the contrary, there is a special point in walking that way for Talmud Chacham. That's the way they could show Kavanat Torah. But I saw, interestingly enough, we think of this Gemara that's not really relevant to us because nobody sits on the floor nowadays. So I saw it could be relevant. Where could it be relevant? Let's say you have a group of people sitting on a bench. And somebody wants to get through, So they're sitting on the bench, and he walks on the bench behind them. So it looks like he's walking on their head. And if the halacha is the loy pasat, the al rosh yam kadosh, you're not allowed to do that. And lastly, what he said was, v'lenestati kapi b'loy bracha. I never duchen without a bracha. And here, Tudum Mefarshim discuss at great length, as we're going to learn in a moment, you have to make a bracha. That's the din. The kahana make a bracha before they duchen. So why is he praising himself? That's the din. So I saw a number of terutzim. One teretz, which the Tori Evan says, is that he was the one that instituted this rule that they make a bracha before Birkas Kohanim. It's one teretz. Another teretz that I saw is that the truth is it's difficult to understand why a bracha should be made for Birkas Kohanim. First of all, the Birkas Kohanim itself is a bracha. Furthermore, Birkas Kohanim is part of a bracha. It's part of the bracha. It's said right after the bracha of Toi Shim Chalakon Noloides. So you would think that you don't have to make a bracha. He still went out of his way to make a bracha. Another teretz that I saw is that he was careful that every time he had an opportunity to duchen, the Chasam Sofer discusses if a kohen already duchened by a tefillah, does he have an obligation to duchen again? He was careful that every time he was called to duchen, he didn't say already duchen by chakras today. He went up to do nesias kapayim again. Another teretz that I saw, v'lenestati kapi b'loy bracha, is that he was careful. The bracha, as we're going to learn in a moment, is to say it b'ahava, that he was very careful always to bring himself to a status that he had a havas yisrael for everybody in the community that he was going to say birkas kohanim to. And the last teretz that I saw is leinasati kapi b'loy bracha is a beautiful teretz. The question is, we know that the minig is that when one Jew gives another Jew a bracha, a father gives a son a bracha, a child a bracha, he says the nusach of birkas kohanim. He was careful that there's a real question. How is that permissible? Why is it not considered bal toisef? He was careful that whenever he gave another person a bracha, he didn't use the words yivarechecha. He limited it just when he was doing the mitzvah nesias kapayim. Even though la'aloch l'maisa, it is no problem if somebody gives another person a bracha saying yivarechecha. The reason is because as long as he doesn't follow the rules that we're learning of Birkas Kohanim, so it's obviously not Birkas Kohanim, it's not a problem bal toisef. He was super careful. Then my Emma says one more teretz, that he was careful that he should get along with all the other Kohanim that he was making Birkas Kohanim together with. So what is the bracha? My Mevarech, Amrav Zera, Amrav Chizda, Ashik Rishonim Kudushasa Shal Aaron. The Farshim asks, where do we find that a bracha is identified with an individual? So Mefarshim answered that the first person, as we've been learning, who did Birkas Kohanim was Aaron HaKohen. So all Birkas Kohanim that go for all future generations are related to him. V'tzivanu levareches ama Yisrael b'ahava. B'ahava. Where do we know that Birkas Kohanim has to do with ahava? So I saw to this also a number of terutzim. One is that we know, we say it every day, that the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim begins with the words Koisvarches b'nei Yisrael, emor lehem. The word emor could be spelled aleph mem resh. It's spelled aleph mem vav resh to teach us that it has to be a complete emor with love. Another tarot that I saw is that, as we learned in the previous year, Birkas Kohanim has to be ponim connected upon him. The face of the Kohanim has to face the face of the Yisraelim. Again, to engender that love. Another tarot that I saw is that the Kohanim, as we discussed in the previous year, when they hold their hands by Birkas Kohanim, hold them palms down. What does it mean, palm down? That they're giving away everything. They're giving away everything. Another teretz that I saw is that, as we just said a moment ago, where does Birkas Kohanim come from? From Aaron. What was Aaron's midah? He was an Oyev Shalom, V'raydev Shalom. He was a tremendous Oyev Yisrael. And therefore, since he was a tremendous Oyev Yisrael, that's why he was careful. That's why the bracha has to be Ba'ahava. One more teretz on the previous kasha, the what does Rabbi Elazar ben Shammuz say that he always made a bracha? It goes back to something we discussed in the previous year. We discussed in the previous year that a Jew is never allowed to raise his hand, only if he's making Birkas Kahanim Tefillah. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Shammu said. Lo nesati kapai, the only time I ever raised my hand was b'lay bracha, when I was making a bracha. Otherwise, I was always careful never to raise my hand. Continues the Gemara. Ki oka kare me amar, as he reaches the duchen, what does he say? He says, Yirat v'fanach Hashem alkeinu, shetei bracha zu shetzivanu, levarach es amcha Yisrael, this bracha that I'm now going to say, lo yehei boy michshol v'oven. There should be no problem with it. So just first the halacha, when does he say it? Our minig is that the kohen goes up to the Aron Kodesh, or to the front of the shul, as they begin to say. He says moidim derabonon, and after he says the moidim, that's when he says this bracha of Yiratzen, as the Chazan is saying, Va'al Kulam. Why is this said? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that, as we've been learning and will continue learning, there are many details involved in Birkus Kohanim, so he has to be careful. He's davening that he should follow all the rules. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we just learned, there has to be Bahava. So not everybody's on that madrega, that he's Bahava, that's why he is mispalel, that it should be Shla Yeheba Michshel V'Oven, that there should be, that he should be able to fulfill the requirement of a Hava. One more pshat that I saw is that the first bracha of Birkas Kohanim, you start Yivarechecha. And Rashi, if you look in Chumash, says Yivarechecha, the moment. The Kohanim give us a bracha that we should have a lot of money. But we know that having a lot of money is not always a good thing. So we mispalo, the Kohanim mispalo. Yes, Klai Yisrael should have a lot of money, but they should use the lot of money only for good things. Because Hader Abi Mitzibura, as he completes Birkus Kohanim, my Omar, what does he say? Adbei Rav Chizda Rav Chuna V'Dorash, Ribbono Shel Olam, Asinu Ma Shegzarta Aleinu, we did what you said. Asay imanu mashif tachtanu, you do what you promise, hashkifam mankot shecham in a shemayim. So Mepharshim say, what does it mean that he said mashu gezart aleinu? So I saw a number of pshatim in this also. One pshat is that really the entire concept of Birkus Kohanim is somewhat difficult to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a bracha, he should give us a bracha. He needs the Kohanim, but it's gezera. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and we accept it. Another teretz that I saw is that, as we know, and we're going to discuss this, is when the Kohanim do Birkus Kohanim, they stand with their backs facing the Aron Kodesh. Somewhat inappropriate. They say, we did it because Gezart Aleinu. That's the way you said we should do it. And another teretz that I saw is that, really, the Kohanim would want to say more than just the Birkus Kohanim. They want to say more bracha. Bench Klal Yisrael. But there's an Isser, as we just said, about Taisif. And therefore, we say, we're only saying what you told us. Which in fact answers another question, which the Shulchan Aruch Rav raises, and the Har Tzvi raises. Why is there no issue about Taisif here, when the Kohanim say this bracha after Birkus Kohanim? The answer is, since they're not doing it as part of the Birkus Kohanim, and they're not doing it with all the halachas of Birkus Kohanim, there is no problem about Taisif. What does it mean? I say Manu. Mashiach Taftanu. Farshim say, what it means is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Kohanim, you bless Klal Yisrael, and I will bless you. Asay imanu mashiach tachtanu, what it means is, that you now carry out your part of the deal, and give us bracha. Om Rav Chizda, Eina Kohanim Rishoyim Likov Kishrit, the same. We know as the Kohanim do Birkus Kohanim, they're supposed to keep their fingers separate, in five spaces, they're not supposed to do it at Shiyachsu Pneim and Atzibur, until they turn around. Why? Because they should not show as if this, they want to finish doing the Birkus Kohanim. They want to delay it. Om Rav Zeir, Om Rav Chizda. Ena Koyre, Rishoy Likus Kohanim. We're now allowed to announce, as we discussed in the previous year, before they begin Birkus Kohanim, somebody says Kohanim, you're not supposed to say it at Shiyachlu Omen Mepi Atzibur, until the Tzibur finishes saying Amen for the bracha of Atoy Shimcha Okon Noloides. Then the Kohanim Shoyim Lahaskul the bracha, and the Kohanim may not begin saying Birkus Kohanim at Shiyichlo Dibam Vipia Kairi, until the Kairi says the words. We know that the Baal Tefillah says the words, and then the Kohen says the word. There's machlokes rishonim. If the first word of Birkus Kohanim, Yivarechecha, is said by the Baal Tefillah or not. Most Rishonim, which is Al Minik, says that every word of the Birkus Kohanim has to be first said by the Baal Tefillah, and then the Kohanim repeat it. There are Paiskim that suggest, Rishonim, that it's the Rambam, that the first word, Yivarechecha, doesn't have to be said. Why? Because what's the entire reason that the word is read first? Because we're concerned that the Kohanim should not get confused. So if they're in the middle of the Birkus Kohanim, so they could get confused. But if they're not in the middle of the Birkus Kohanim, they didn't even start yet, there's nothing to get mixed up about. And that's why he says that the first word, Yivarechecha, is not announced. But as I said, our minig is that even the first word is announced. Tosfos and other Rishonim explain, why are we so makpid? Why are we so careful that everything should be kept separate? The Baal Tefillah has to finish, and then the Kohanim begin, and so on. No overlap, because there's a rule, Trei Koyle Lai Mishtama. We can't hear two things at the same time. So ask the Rishonim, it says many times in the Gemara, when is there a rule of Trei Koyle Lai Mishtama? We can't hear two things at the same time. That's when it's not something that's chaviv. It's not something that you're really that anxious to hear. But here it's Birkus Kohanim. We're certainly very anxious to hear it. So why is the halacha that we have to be so careful? The answer is that when, two answers the Rishonim give. One answer is that if two people, where's this halacha said? This halacha said, Masechta Megillah. So if two people are reading the Megillah at the same time, since they're reading the exact same thing, so there, the rule is that since I really want to hear the Megillah, I could pay attention. But if two people are saying two different things, as much as I want to hear what they're saying, I can only hear one thing at a time, and that's why the halacha here is different. Another pshat is that if a person is saying amen, for example, so he can't be saying amen and listening at the same time. And we want every individual in the community to receive the Birkus Kohanim. And that's why we want everybody to finish the amen, and then they could pay attention to the Birkus Kohanim. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Ve'ein ha-Kohanim Rishoyim l'haskel l'brocha acheres at sheikh l'amen m'piyat tzibur. As we discussed in the previous year, after every brocha is said, they said amen. And again, you can't start the new brocha until the tzibur says amen. Vama, Rav Zeira Amar Avchizda, Ein ha-Kohanim Rishoyim l'haskel p'neim in a tzibur, the Kohanim may not turn around until the Shlich Tzibah starts Sim Sholem. Again, the same reason. We don't want the Kohanim to rush out of Birkus Kohanim. Furthermore, Ve'en Rishoyim Laka Regleim V'leilach At Sheyigmet Shlich Tzibah Sim Sholem. They stand there on the by their place until the Baal Tefillah says Sim Sholem. And as we learned before, while they're standing there, they say the Tefillah. And as the Mefarshim explained, then when the tzibur answers amen on the bracha of Sim Sholem, the amen is not only going on the bracha of Sim Sholem, the bracha is also going on the tefillah that the Kohanim said silently. The amen we say after Sim Sholem goes both on the bracha that the Shleich Tzibur said and on the bracha that the Kohanim were mispalel. Again, the Paiskim say that the minig in many communities is that when the Kohanim come back off from where saying the Siyas Kapayim, the community tells the Kohanim Baruch Yishkoyach. They tell him Yishkoyach for the bracha, and the Kohanim say Baruchim to you for giving us Yishkoyach. That's not considered Baal Taisif because they're not following the style of Birkus Kohanim. I saw a vort, a very sharp vort, that says we know that a very important aspect of our community is that there should be Achdus. The Farshim say, Achdus doesn't only apply to the members of the community. It also applies to the leadership of the community. Even the Shlich Tzibur, even the leaders of the community have to have Sim Sholem, have to have Sholem amongst themselves. Amrav Zeir, Amrav Chizda. Ein HaTzibur Shoyim Lanas Amen. The Tzibur cannot say Amen. Acha tichla brocha mepiat kaira. Ve'en a kaira rishoy likras b'tayra. and he shouldn't begin doing Kriyas HaTorah. As we said earlier, we're going to learn some halachas of Kriyas HaTorah at Sheikh Amen Pi Tzibur, until the Tzibur says Amen to the Birchas HaTorah. Their minig was that there was a Matargim who would say Targum Unkelus after they read Psukim from the Torah. The halacha is, Ein HaMatargim Rishoy Lahaskal B'Targum, he's now going to begin saying the Targum, until the Baal Kairi finishes reading the Psukim, and then the Baal Kairi wants to resume laning, Ein HaKairi Rishoy Lahaskal B'Pasuk Acher, the Baal Kairi cannot begin reading from the Sefer Torah again, until the Targum finishes saying the Targum. Continues the Gemara. Amr of Tanchum, Amr Mishim Alevi. Hamafta Benavi, if somebody is going to get the Haftorah, which is from Navi, Tzarech Shiyik B'Torah Tchila, he has to first read from the Sefer Torah. Why? Because it shouldn't be a begam. It shouldn't be disrespect to the Sefer Torah that he's only reading from Navi. He's not reading from the Sefer Torah. The Mefarshim debate, what is this? How is this actually carried out? Some Rishonim, which is not our minik, suggest that the Maftir was the last person who got an Aliyah. And then he got the Aliyah, then they say Kaddish, and we're going to say what else they do, and then he starts reading the Haftorah. Others say, which is our minik, is that the person getting Maftir is not one of the Zion Kruim, is not somebody who got one of the Aliyahs. Just they finished the Kriyas HaTorah, they say Kaddish, and they read over for the Baal Maftir some of the reading, some of the Kriya, and then he does, and then there's going to be Hag B'Galila, and then there's Haftorah. Says the Gemara, V'amar Reb Tanchum Amr Vishu Ben Levi, Eina Maftir Rishoy LaHafta B'Navi, the Baal Maftir may not begin saying Haftorah at Sheigla Sefer Torah until Galila is done. And there's a number of reasons given by the Mefarshim why, that have halachic ramifications. One reason is that it's for respect. We want to show respect to the Sefer Torah that we complete doing the Kriyas HaTorah and doing the Hag B'Galila, and only then do we begin Haftorah. Another pshat is that we want that they shouldn't forget to do Galila. So that's why, how will we make sure that Galila is done properly? We won't allow the Haftorah to be read until Galila is done. Another pshat is that we want the person who got Galila also to be able to listen to the Haftorah. And if he's busy doing Galila, he can't listen to the Haftorah. What is the nafkamina between all these pshatim? Very big nafkamina. Do we have to wait for Galila to be completely finished before the Haftorah is begun? If we say that the reason is for respect, that's the respect, so we have to wait till Galila is completed. But if we say that the reason is that because we want him to hear the Haftorah, or we're concerned that we shouldn't forget to do Galila, says the Shara Ephraim, that nowadays that we have printed Chumashim, and everybody could read the Haftorah for themselves, so we don't have to wait for Galila to be completed. If most of Galila is done, we could already begin learning reading the Haftorah. It's Machloikas Apoiskim, should we wait for the completion? It's Mashma from the Mishnah Berurah that you should wait till Galila is done. Interestingly, the Shara Ephraim says you don't have to wait for Galila to be completely finished. If most of Galila is done, they could already begin the Haftorah. V'amrav Tancha Amr Yishu Ben Levi. Ain't Slich Tzibur. Rishoy Lahafshet Zateba B'Tzibur. B'nei Kvayra Tzibur. Their minig was that for safety reasons, for security reasons, they did not leave the Sefer Torah in the shul. They left the Sefer Torah in another place, and they used to decorate the bima where they kept the Sefer Torah, and then after laning from the Sefer Torah, they took it back to where it was. The halacha is, because there's a concept of tircha de tzibura, we don't want everybody to have to wait until they take off the decorations, they should take the Sefer Torah back, and then the shamans should come back and take off the decorations from the bima. And here the Paiskim discuss, there's a big subject discussed in the Paiskim, is one allowed to carry a Sefer Torah, under what circumstances one is allowed to carry a Sefer Torah from one place to another place. And the Paiskim say, from here we see that if it's a minyan, you're allowed to bring a Sefer Torah from one place to the other place. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to carry, the Shulchan Aruch discusses not carrying a Sefer Torah to someone who's imprisoned, is when there is dominion in the prison. But if there's already a tzibah there, you're allowed to carry the Sefer Torah. It, of course, requires that it be done with great respect, meaning that it should be done by more than one individual bringing the Sefer Torah. Also interesting, I saw the Paiskim discuss, the Tzitz Eliezer discusses this, by the Kaisel, the question comes up. Most of the Sefer Torah are not outside in the plaza. They're kept inside. And then they bring them out for Kriyas HaTorah. And the Tzitz Eliezer says that it's not respectful that they should bring the Sefer Torah, especially when they come to Kriyas HaTorah. What's more appropriate is that they should have the Sefer Torah prepared where there's a minyan before davening. If you're going to do it that way, that during davening you're going to bring the Sefer Torah, more than one individual should go to escort the Sefer Torah. However, I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Tovia Goldstein, said many times that under the circumstances that you are allowed to carry Sefer Torah, if there are velim and you're carrying it to their house, or there's a minyan, so there's a minig ha'olam, he says, that you have to lay in three times. Otherwise, you shouldn't bring a Sefer Torah. He said, he used to say he doesn't know where the source for that is in the halacha. The tzibur may not leave a shul until the Sefer Torah is put back in its place. However, the Paiskim say that that's the tzibur, that the tzibur should leave before the Sefer Torah is inappropriate. But for a yachid, it's mutter. Until they actually carry out the Sefer Torah, v'loy pligi. Hadika pesach achrina, if there's another door, so then as soon as the Sefer Torah is taken, you can walk out the other door. Hadaleka pesach achrina, there's only one door, we have to be careful that the Sefer Torah should go out the door first, that's covered at Torah. Amar Rav, Rav Barhina, Asberli, how do we know that one should be careful to make sure that the Sefer Torah goes out first? Because the Pasuk says, we have to show the proper respect to the Sefer Torah that it should go out first. Says the Gemara, Biznan shekahanim evarchim sam. As the kohanim do birkus kohanim, maheim omrim, what do the people say? Omrav zera omrav chizda, baruch Hashem malachav gibayrei kairach, baruch Hashem kutsuvav vishorsav oisei ritsoinoi, baruch Hashem kamasav. These are the three psukim. But on Shabbos we daven musaf and we say Birkus Kohanim. My aim Omrim. Omer of Asi Shem Malus. Hine Baruchas Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem. Suyadechem. Kodesh Baruchas Hashem is the second pasuk. Baruch Hashem Tzin Shoichin Yerushalayim Haluka the third pasuk. Ask the Gemara. V'lei Manami. Why don't they say V'yirecha Hashem Tzion? Why don't they say that pasuk? And it's the Gemara, the Ksiba Hunyan. They want to keep all the psukim about the same subject. Honor of Yehuda B'Reid of Shimon Pazi. The Ksiba Hunyan. Why don't they say that pasuk? And it's the Gemara, Honor of Yehuda B'Reid of Shimon Pazi. B'Toych Shehizchel, B'Kosh Shalka B'Kosh Baruch Hu. Since the first bracha speaks about us blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Messiahim B'Kosh Shalka B'Kosh Baruch Hu, we end with that subject. B'Mincha B'Tanis Amai Amri. Normally, we don't say Nesias Kapayim by Mincha. Why? Because it's a concern of Shikras. Mincha is davened already well into the day, and people could have become already intoxicated, and therefore we don't say Birkus Kohanim. However, on a Tainus, where we aren't eating and drinking, so there's no concern for Shikras, so we say Birkus Kohanim by Mincha. And our minig is we say Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Seinu. What brachas do we say then? What tefillas do we say during the Birkus Kohanim of Mincha? Amar of Achav Yaakov, im avoneinu onabanu Hashem aseh leman shmecha, mikvi Yisrael Mashiach beis tzara, lo matiyah geba oretz, lo matiyah ki ish nidam, ki giba lo yochel ashiyah. And as Mefarshim explained, since Mincha on a tainus tzibur is an eis rotzen, is a time where Kodesh Baruch Hu hears our tefillas. So all the psukim that we say reflect that issue that we mispallel that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillas for which we are fasting and hear our tefillas and bring us the Yeshuas that we require.